Greg Foster's on the line, former Socceroo. He's the voice of world football, let's be honest. And former teammate of our man at the back, Craig Moore, I'm sure. He joins us on the lines. A bit happening in the world game. Craig, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Good to talk to you.
Good on you. Great to have you with us. Now, this FIFA sponsorship decision at the moment for the Saudi Arabians for the Women's World Cup, it's been poorly received by the players and a lot of people out there. Craig, can you tell us a bit more about what's happening?
Yeah, so clearly the Football Federation of Australia and New Zealand weren't consulted on this. And so what's happened is Visit Saudi is the Saudi Arabian State Tourism Authority and now has been given a sponsorship of the forthcoming Women's World Cup in July, August this year in Australia and New Zealand. And there's a lot of deep concern about that, because of the fact that, you know, women's rights in Saudi Arabia are, you know, very seriously compromised, have the male guardianship system, as I was writing in the SMH and Age this morning. And so, you know, they have a number of really serious human rights issues regarding women at the same time as they want to sponsor a tournament in which we have so many, you know, proud activists and athletes who are standing up for gender equality. And of course, at this tournament, it's very largely about the fact that the Matildas and the Socceroos have an equal pay and conditions deal, which yep. we're very, very proud of. And so this World Cup is about gender equality. And yet here we have, you know, Visit Saudi as a sponsor who represent a country that's anything but.
So I was reading a story this morning that there might be some action taken by, particularly, well, the Australians at least, the Matildas at least, in preparation for this World Cup or through the World Cup itself. Would you expect, if this was allowed to go through, that other nations would get involved in that as well?
I'd imagine so. As you saw with Qatar, though, you know, the politics of sport and when various governments get involved as well, you know, the complex matrix of stakeholders we're talking about here. So, you know, many of the male players, for example, the captains of the nine European teams wanted to wear a particular coloured armband in support of the LGBTI community, and that was outlawed by FIFA, for example, in support of the host Qatar and yep. for, you know, deeply political reasons. So let's see what happens. But, you know, we do have some brilliant, strong voices in women's football, and Matildas are one of them. You know, it was only a couple of years ago when, I think it was 2019, when they actually launched a global campaign for equal prize money with the men at FIFA World Cups, which was very courageous. Unfortunately, they didn't receive a lot of support from other teams or their a global players' union called FIFPro, but it's vital in this moment that all of those organisations and other teams around the world, including the US and England and France, who are so prominent and so well-known, these athletes, that they speak up and join the Matildas in doing so.
How's sport going to handle this, Craig? And you're, I mean, you're a great champion for human rights across the globe and been really vocal in many stories and situations yep. in the last couple of years. And I read today that Saudi Arabia is confirmed as the host of football's 2027 Asian Cup, the prelude for the World Cup. How's sport going to handle this? That we've seen the situation with golf, with the LIV Tour, and the impact that's had on and dividing that community. What are we going to do about this?
Well, firstly, we need to understand human rights. So, you know, when we talk about it a lot, you know, of course, the sporting community hasn't been, you know, hasn't had this conversation really ever before. I mean, we were talking human rights in the 68 Olympics, you know, with the famous Black Power salute. But since then, sport tried to avoid that discussion. And so now we just need to have that discussion, particularly with young athletes and with journalists and CEOs and the like, about what that international framework is, why it's important, and why it corresponds with what sport wants to do and says that it does, which is, you know, to be a force for good in the world and to help people and to do all these things. Once we start having that conversation, the second part is to say, well, how does that correspond to where we are in global sport now, and how does it affect the decisions that we make? And, you know, that is a complex, nuanced discussion that needs to be had. So take, for instance, Qatar. Should they have had that World Cup or otherwise? Well, thousands of people shouldn't have had to die, but let's say, for example, that they ultimately, because of the power of the World Cup and being involved in global sport, they had to change their labour law system, which was effectively modern slave labour. And right. they've made significant reform there only because they hosted the World Cup. So very positive impacts can occur because all of these nations around the world want to be involved in sport, as they should. The same thing can happen with Saudi Arabia. So the thing I'm arguing this morning is, the question is, what are the minimum requirements, minimum conditions that FIFA should put on this sponsorship or their hosting of 2030 World Cup, which looks overwhelmingly likely the way we're headed, what are the conditions needed to be put in place in order for that to occur? And basic women's rights and reform of the male guardianship system must be a minimum condition in order for them to be able to sponsor a Women's World Cup, which is, of course, about, you know, women's equality and rights.
Well, it's a broad conversation. Probably needs a bit more time than we can give it today, but I reckon there'll be more on this one as we build up to the Women's World Cup.
Oh, definitely.
In Australia and New Zealand. Just before we let you go, I mean, that match being moved, the opening match against Ireland on July 20 being moved from Allianz to Accor Stadium, almost doubles the capacity. How exciting is that?
Why, it's just massive. You know, I think we're all just starting to get a glimpse, and only a glimpse, of how massive this Women's World Cup's going to be. I think there was like 1.5 billion viewers 4 years ago in France. It's rising very rapidly, so we're expecting, you know, billions of viewers, many, many people coming into the country to be able to watch. And, of course, Australia's just starting to get excited. I'll tell you what, when the team starts playing that first game, it is the excitement across the country is going to be immense. They're already a loved national team, if not the most loved, according to some research. And once they start playing, Sam Kerr starts smashing a few goals and we start moving through the tournament. Wow, it's going to be a very special vibe.
Yeah, looking forward to it myself. Can't wait for that one, July 20. The Matildas kick off the World Cup, Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. And quick one, Arnie, did we get it right, the four-year deal?
That's a good question. I would have liked him, actually, to go and lead in the same way that Ange Postecoglou has done and go abroad now and take his opportunity to open doors for other Australian coaches. I thought that would have been a wonderful path, and someone, you know, step inside and now be able to take us on the next journey. That's for a number of reasons. Firstly, because Arnie is ready. Secondly, because the qualification series for 2026 is a little bit easier than what happened here. There's 48 teams there. So Australia is, you know, pretty much guaranteed to get in, and therefore you can afford to bring through another new coach. Having said that, the real question is, was anyone ready? Have we trained anyone? And what would be the alternative? And I think at the moment there probably is no alternative. So it's a sensible decision, but I thought there was a different path we could have tried, which would have been fantastic for Graham and really great for Australian football.
Well, we've got 3.5 years to find out whether it's going to be a great success for the Socceroos. We appreciate your time as always, Craig. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure.
Craig Foster with us.